Just want to bring some of the up-to-date of the ministry. I shared a testimony during the Sunday school hour that God blessed us to start this ministry in 1976. India, it's 1.4 billion people. India may overtake China, in fact. India became the most populated country in the world within 2 years' time. That means 1.5 billion people. And it's bad news. Every five people you'll meet, one will be from India. But all they have souls, and that's what we aim. We work with 44 different languages of India. All the ministry goes from our church, People's Baptist Church, where I'm pastoring. This is the church. This is our first service. That's in Malayalam. That's our language. Somebody said the fastest speaking language in the world, Malayalam. And if you come, you may not understand, but you can go to our second service. That's an English service. And our church is growing, and a lot of English-speaking community there. So we've been able to just reach out, and the people have been saved and been baptized. We take at least 6 months' time before we give baptism, because after the baptism, people come to know they are Christian, then ostracized from the family, problem comes. So we try to ground them in the Word of God. Now we train also young people to do it because we are getting there. So this is our youth pastor, Pastor Jane Matthew, baptizing. In 1978, India became a closed mission field. You cannot send a missionary to India from 1978 onwards. They did not give. Most of the missionaries asked to leave from our country. So that led us to start a Bible Institute training nationals back in the home. Two ways, because to send in a person to abroad like America and other place to train them 4 years, it cost nearly around $70,000 to $75,000. But many times after 4 or 5 years, they don't want to go back to their land, so it's better to train nationals back in home. Very inexpensive, we can train nationals back in home. So God enabled us to start a Bible Institute in Trivandrum in 1980. It is mainly we are looking to our state with our language. But God began to give more vision to reach out the whole India. So language changed to English. It became in a college in 1990. And in 2000, it became seminary. And we started with 7 students, but God began to help us slowly growing. Thus far, 2017, we graduated over 3,300 students from our college. And out of that, 3,000 working in the ministry, with the ministry, and mostly involved in church planting. That's our aim, not only reaching people, educating them, discipling them, establishing local Bible-believing churches. We started in a very small way in the rented building. Then 1/3 of an acre, we built a building on the top. You call it a building. That was a building. We stopped taking girls away because girls could not stay there. The men still stayed. Then we got more land. Now we have more facilities, but still we are keeping a small portion. Every day, the faculty and staff gather for their prayer meeting and devotion, not forgetting what God has done in the ministry. Now we have facilities to buildings and classrooms and auditoriums and been able to train the people. We train in every areas of ministries. We have an auditorium can heap nearly 3,500 people and classrooms and we train in every areas of ministries. This is the first and second year, men and women. We have 44 different language speaking people. And third and fourth year students, we train people, might be able to reach people and work with schools and children, women, and reaching out and establishing churches. When they get graduate, there's a place for them to go because we also got a summer ministry program for 4 years. That means almost 40 weeks they will be in the field for 4 years' time. So when they graduate, there's a place they can go because God began to work on their hearts. This is the graduation of 2017. Around 88% of them went to the field. That's one of the reasons I'm here to raise support for the pastors, those who go to the field graduates. Then we became a self-supporting church and helping the students. Around $4,000 you can train a national in home 4 years' time. What about $70,000 to $80,000? Then India is in a multicultural place. India could be in many countries in one country because each state speaks its different languages. They eat different, and their way of culture is different. And a lot of religious group. We have Hindus, Islamic, Sikhism, Jainism, Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, Sindhuism, and we all got a lot of tribal religious groups. We thought on praying to send a lot of graduates in the northern part of region, then to start in a Bible college there. Mainly just looking on the 7 states of North India, as well as Pakistan and Bangladesh and those areas, even Tibet. So we start around 4,000 kilometers away from Trivandrum and founded in 2010 and trained so far until last year 150 students. And along with many other graduates, over 250 churches have been planted in the same state alone. And 76 we have presently. We turned down 50 students this year because of lack of place. We rent few buildings. We've been able to acquire in a piece of land, nearly 3 acres. Like to get a little more land, then we can build it. So I appreciate thoughtful prayers. 50 students we turned them down this year, male students, because there is no place. We rented a few buildings, and we've been able to just continue. And for classrooms, we have to rent different buildings. And thank God that we've been able to have a good number of students studying there. So this coming year, which means on the May, when we start college, we'd like to see at least 50 more students added. But we need a place for these people, need your prayers. There's a graduation service there. After the graduation service this year, a couple of local churches put in a gospel meeting. We've been able to go and have the meetings. People have been saved. All these men been graduated from an extension school there. Previously, we started the college. They've been able to plant churches all across Pakistan-India border. And many churches have been planted there. And people come to know Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Then we also got a third college in the middle, central part of India. A lot of persecutions and problem there. Started with this man called Sahu. He came one time to just throw a stone on our meetings when 15 years back, he and his friends. So the next day we went for baptism. He came with the drums and beating the drums and dancing, naming and making all the ridiculous. I was so upset and angry. But I cannot do anything. I'm a Christian, so I had to smile at them. Anyway, after the baptism, took him aside, talked to him, invited him politely to come to the meeting with our drums, hear what we are preaching. So he came, and the third day he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the last day he went back to his home. He was ostracized from the family. Then he came to the college, graduated with the master's, went and started Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Started an extension school there to train more people. Lot of persecution in that area. There are 7 to 8 states in that region. You cannot even baptize people without getting a court permission. That's the way they just do that. So the extension school became a college. Presently we have 120 students there. We graduate over 140 students from this college and many other graduates from Trivandrum working across that region. And we've been able to teach them and send them to the school. But this is also in a persecution area. 8 years back, there was a persecution. Over 110 people been killed in there. There's an old church building was burned. And the pastor's house was burned. He and his wife and little child has to run away over through the mountains in dark. He came back. He's been able to reorganize people. We've been able to build this building. I was there for dedications. The whole village came. All these children's parents been killed during that violence. But Pastor Pradeep and Pastor Pavitra and his wife looking after that. We are on the process of building. I was there for after graduation and speaking. These children travel 100 kilometers and attend a meeting. brought a testimony and singing to the congregation, and thank God, and it was a challenge time. A lot of police were outside, but we've been able to gather the peaceful manner to the church has been strengthened there, and more church been able to plant in that area. Then we also have a training center, extension school in 18 different parts of India. That is a 2 years course, once in a month, 3 days, and they also work in the field, in the classrooms. And as the course finished within 2 years' time, they'll be able to reach a lot of villages, and when they get graduate, there'll be a church planted there. The one of the church near Bangladesh border here from the extension school, two of these men went to the Bangladesh and been able to start churches in that region. Then we also got children's home, and which you are looking forward to see that. This is tsunami home. Tsunami hit around 50 miles south of Trivandrum. We have a church there, Faith Baptist Church, 3 miles away. We sent a lot of help for the people, those who remain, but we came across 58 children, no parents. Brought them to different believers' house. Then we've been able to build this home, and I was there in the month of August, so thought of taking a selfie picture with the little girls. And it's growing, and most of these children came to know Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Our aim is not only feeding, clothing, educating. Our aim is their heart. They may come to know Christ. Some children need bicycles. Maybe some idea for you to go to school. Uniforms they need when they go to school. And even people get baptized. And we've been able to build a home for them, Brother Pradeep. And the church is also growing along with that. There's another home in Navarangpur, most boys' home. And this is the home which Golden City Baptist Church. Is it that church? This, okay, this church, okay. Thank you so much. I was here 1 year back. I shared this, Pastor Alan Mitchell, the family and the church. You've been able to consider from last June, July onwards, you start supporting. These girls and boys need your prayers. Pastor Timothy and his wife just looking after this. This is the church, and the left side is the place they stay. Very congested. We wanted to build some room for them. There was a special meeting. The pastors came, and Timothy is also a good worker, reaching out. It's around 5 years back, I went to that village, preached in an open-air meeting, and people came to know Christ, and Timothy went to an extension school, been able to start this ministry. And ministry is growing, and people come to know Christ. When I was there for a special meeting, different place, the children came with the, giving a special number and giving their testimonies. How do they come to know Christ? This is the place we just bought it in that area. Of course, we bought a couple of years back, and we didn't have enough funds to build it. I'd like to build there 2 rooms, one for girls and one for boys, and some fresh toilets, and build in the concrete so that they get more children, they can just build on the top. So appreciate your thoughtful prayers that the Lord may just use. One of the girls studying from your country, Australia, she's Miriam. So I took her there. She was also with us, with my wife. I've been able to go there. And these children, and as you just support them, you not only bring a smile on their face, but an avenue to reach the love of Christ to their hearts. There are children, those in our children's home, went to be nurses, computer engineers, and gospel preachers. In every areas, God been able to use these people. So he says, talking to Miriam with their broken English. And I don't know who got the broken English anyway. So pray this property behind them. Maybe we will be able to just build slowly, little by foundation, and a room, and a roof, and with God's help, we can do it. So when we go, we always take some gifts for them, and some sweets and things. So my wife, we had the privilege to give to them, and thank God for these children, need much prayer. Another home, we have an abused girls' home in northern part of India. It was in Kashmir, we moved, And these girls, with one or other way, they've been abused. 35 girls. They also just make some knitting and sewing and doing embroidery work along with their studies. So when they just come out from the school, they have something they can do it. And this is the building on the process of purchasing for this girl's home. And appreciate your prayers for that. Home in Punjab, Pastor Johnson and his wife Mariam looking after. We are on the process of a building for them along with the church. It's a growing church over there. Then our ministry in Nepal. Nepal is also a close mission field, a lot of Hindus. And we've been able to send out people and graduates, go one by one to villages and towns, reaching with the gospel. We started a Bible Institute, became a college this year. And thank God we've been able to train nationals there. Then the ministry goes northeastern part of India. A lot of tribal groups there. Send a lot of graduates, school ministries, and establishing men and women, the Lord Jesus. We use school as an avenue to reach gospel to the community. And many came to know Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Then church has been built. This young man, they study 4 years, but they go to the field for 10 weeks every year. That produced a great desire for reaching the gospel. Been able to go to the villages, towns, starting churches and building churches. Continue to train them, build them in the most holy faith. Build them like in the families and been able to reach out. And some churches be grown to be around 400 to 500 people. And we have around 2,000 plus churches are still supporting now. And thank God the ministry is growing. Then the ministry also, we are careful. We just try to lead them one by one to Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want anybody's blood on our hand. Thinking they are going to heaven, not saved. Then they get baptized. Then we're able to start churches. The ministry went to Myanmar, Burma. Past hopping, started there. Churches, that there are several graduates. We have around 22 Burmese studying in our Trivandrum College. We've been able to go and start churches there and building up men and women for the glory of God. We also got some medical ministries, reaching with the doctors and nurses and patients, trying to help them to somehow the gospel might be able to go. We started in 76 with $7 Australian and 4 men. But turned to be the 40 years last year. So we celebrated. Pastor Benham was one of the men who just brought the message. We could not keep everybody in the auditorium because over 5,000 people. So temporary buildings. And we have in our church, previous day we have in a book dedication. I thought my wife would be the right person to give the book because she has to endorse it. People can talk about anything, but thank God. And Pastor Venom have been able to take one book from Sarah. Please do pray for Sarah as she is sick. That without her I was not able to do what I was doing. Need much prayer. Then we had a great meeting and people from different states came. We regulate at least around 3 to 4 people from one church come. Still there are 5,000 people came. One day they came with their own different way they dressed up. So each state, not only the language, sometimes people think India is a whole big curry. No. Different curries in different place. You have an Australian Indian curry even in a kangaroo flat anyway. So they even just different way they dress it. This is the way people in Kerala state dress. And said there are 4 people started with the ministry. And still 3 of them working. This is Pastor Philip. He started with me in 1976. As a junior to me, came and worked. Brother Philip Bathai, who is the vice president of the college and assistant pastor, and Sarah and myself, the other man around 18 years back, he died in a plane crash. And he was coming from a mission trip. Still the ministry is growing. And do please pray for this family. As we are seeing around here, around 3,500 people sitting there, but translation going to different place. Some people cannot understand. So I appreciate the thoughtful and continual prayers. Pray for family. That's my oldest daughter and her husband work with the ministry, Debbie and Johnson. And Timothy, next year he'll finish to be a doctor. He's going to northern part of India, looking up the Bible college, starting a clinic there, reach out the region. And Dawn and Susan, they both are in the States. And I appreciate your thoughtful and continual prayers for this ministry. Thank you so much. Well, this is a Sunday morning. That's the reason I went so fast. Somebody said I have to go slow, but you know the time, so I had to go a little fast. But something you can pray for this ministry. This ministry is built upon prayer and continuing prayer. It all started with one medical missionary was willing to come to India, giving gospel to me without hesitation. Thank God, he was very faithful to God's and God's ministry, and then God saved me. Then he was asked to leave from our country. He went back to America. Government gave 2 weeks time to get out from the country. He has to leave. Around 8 years back, a preacher came, preached for the college, a graduate, then came to my college. Then he preached in our chapel. I was taking him to the airport. I asked him, how did you come to know Christ? I always fascinated when people say how they come to know Christ. Then he asked me, how do I come to know Christ? So I shared the testimony. He said, I came to know the Lord through a Baptist ministry, medical missionary. He asked me, what is his name? He said, Quinton Kenoyer. He's sobbed. Did I say anything wrong, Pastor? No. You bless my soul. This is the tears of joy. Our church supported him 45 years with a little amount of money. We never knew what the Lord has done through that. Look at that, how many thousands of people now. Sometimes you help for the missions with a prayer and support, little amount, send a card. It can not only take away the blessed hand of God to your generation, even the generation to come. This doctor went with the Lord 2 years back. Ministry still going on. Need to pray. If you have a Bible, please turn with me to John chapter 12. We'll be reading first 11 verses. I'll finish in time. Back in home, we don't keep a clock. We keep calendar. We turn over the calendar and preach. But I'm afraid to do that here. So I want to keep your good spirit and good smiling face, so I'll keep in time. Don't worry about it. So the Gospel according to John chapter 12, we'll be reading first 11 verses. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, that they come not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. May the Lord add more blessings as we meditate. This incident took place just before 1 week before the Lord was crucified. He was on the way to Jerusalem and looking for that cross where he's going to give his life for many, for us, for you and me. So always that was in his mind. As looking for that cross, as he was going to Jerusalem, they have to pass through Bethany, a small town. There's a family who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. So they came to know that he's going through that way. They invited him to honor him. They made a big supper for him, given to hospitality. So it's a big supper they made. As we read this story, there was four people's names are mentioned here, which I'm going to speak from that today. These people, one or other way, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, these four people have one or other way a different kind of relationship with the Lord Jesus. As the Lord help us, as we study this passage, as we examine their relationship with the Lord Jesus, may the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts how is the relationship of us with the Lord Jesus Christ. That may be able to apply to our life and examine our own life. See here what happened in verse 2. They made him a supper and Martha served. So first person, Martha. So I call her a serving Christian. Martha served. Or you put in an alliteration, working Christian. Serving, working. Martha, always you can find, she's working, hasty. She was introduced by the scripture first time in Luke chapter 10. When Jesus went first time to Bethany, the two sisters invited, Martha invited him. He came there, some people were with him. So she was serving every guest, those who came. Finally, she was exhausted. She came and burst her exhaust spirit to the Savior. Lord, even you are not caring for me. Look at my sister. She was so cumbered and came. And the Lord said, Martha, Martha. That's what, when we think about Martha, we think about Martha, Martha, a complaining Martha. I don't know how many people put their daughters Martha. Maybe they put Mary, you know. Martha means complaining, but that's what always we think about. But I like to say a different picture over here. There's a much bigger crowd in chapter 12 here. Because the word of God says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also. A much, much bigger crowd than Luke chapter 10. She's also serving him. But one thing, she's not complaining. She's serving the Lord. What happened during these 3 years of time? How she began to grow in the Lord. And that she began to learn, serving the Lord Jesus Christ is not in a matter of complaining, but rather an opportunity and privilege. And she was excited. What made her to think of that? You have to just see a few things from John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, you can see that Lazarus was sick unto death. So these two sisters, there is no other way. So they sent the word to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord did not act that time. Neither he spoke anything. See, he doesn't have to go and heal Lazarus. He can send a word. He did many times. But this time, he did not act anyway. After 4 days, or a few days, and Jesus told the disciple, Lazarus is sleeping. He talked about the death of Lazarus. Nobody sent the word to Jesus, but he knew that, because he's God. He knows everything. So he said to the disciple, Lazarus is sleeping. Disciple misunderstood. If he's sleeping, he's getting better. Jesus said, no, he died. Then Thomas said, let us also go and die with him. It's not going to help people. Sometimes people can be miserable comforters. But Jesus said, let us go. As he just came to meet this bereaved ones, the word of God says, verse 20, chapter 11, verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. She heard Jesus coming, so she ran and met with the Lord. Verse 21 says, then said Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. As she came and met with the Lord, she just burst out her sorrow to him, saying, Lord, if you were here, my brother would not die. Then the word says, verse 22, but I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. She said that, if you were here, Lord, my brother would not die. But I know even if you ask anything, God will give you. Then verse 23, Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. Then verse 24, Martha replied. Martha said unto him, I know. Some people are like Martha. They know everything. They don't need any explanation, no. I know, what? That he shall rise again in the resurrection, in the last day. I know he's going to rise in the last day. Then Jesus made the remarkable statement saying, I am the resurrection and life. Nobody ever could make that statement, only Jesus can make, because he is the source of life. I am the resurrection and life. Then the word of God continued to say, what? Verse 26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. What a great promise. We are saved to eternity. And Jesus said, then he turned to Martha and looked to her, said, believest thou this? When Jesus asks a question, be careful, there's something he wants to teach us. Then answered to the question of Jesus, she said, verse 27, she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She said, yes, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of God, who should come to this world. Then the picture has gone, Mary came, then gradually Jesus went to the place where Lazarus was being laid. Then the word of God says, verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. As he came before the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. But there is an interruption in between, because what happened? Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto the Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. He's telling, Lord, you must be out of your mind. Too much heartier. The body been decomposed. Now smelling. The Lord just looked to her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldst believe, that what Jesus said. What he said to her, if you believe, she said, yes, you are the Christ, you are the Son of God. You are the one to come to this world. What she said to the Lord, as soon as she met with the Lord, said, if you been here, my brother would not die. Even if you ask anything, I know he will give it. Some people can talk too much from their head. There's no deep faith over here. Head and heart is so close, maybe 1 foot, but the thing is that someday faith is here, not here. She talked about the faith. Jesus wants to correct her. She said, if you ask anything, I know God will give you. She said, no, don't open now. She did not really believe. How often we Christians, we can talk about so many things of faith, but there's no real faith in our heart. And Jesus said to her, say I not unto thee, if thou believe, thou should see the glory of God. Everything she talked out of her mind, out of her knowledge, not by faith. Then the word of God says, then they took, verse 41, they took away a stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his voice and said, Father, you prayed. Then the word of God says, and verse 43, Jesus said, Lazarus, come out. come forth. I'm glad he said, Lazarus, come forth. What happened? When he said, Lazarus, come out, the dead came forth. Suppose you think Jesus would have said, come forth. All the people, those been dead from the day of Adam, would have come forth from the grave. That's my Savior. That's my Master. That is Jesus. He had power over death. Could you imagine that all 4 days decomposed body get back again? The blood started running. He just moved. Martha, she might look. Indeed, this is the Savior. Indeed, this is the one come to this world. He is my Master. I'm so sorry, Lord. I just thought in my mind, but I know you are. From that moment onwards, she began to realize serving the Savior is not a matter of complaining, but rather an opportunity. Rather opportunity, privilege. He has got millions of angels ready to serve Him. But God chose you and me to serve Him. See, come to church sometimes to sweep the church, going an extra mile to help somebody else, giving the gospel, maybe helping someone else. As we involve in the service of God, how often we began to complain, am I the only person to do this? I'm always doing this. You're doing. But let me tell you, friends, serving the Lord Jesus Christ is an opportunity and privilege God has given for you and me. And that Martha began to get into her mind and heart. No matter how big crowd is there is no complaining Martha. A serving Martha for the Lord Jesus Christ. How is your relationship in serving areas? Are you serving with the whole heart or with complaints? He has got millions of angels ready to serve Him, but He just saved you to serve Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 says we are all saved to serve Him. Saved to serve Him. We know we are going to heaven, but until that moment, we are saved to serve Him. Are you a serving Christian? Are you a working Christian? I got a man in my church. For about many, many years, he comes every day morning. Though we just do all the cleaning, but he'll come and just sweep every chair, keep everything neat and steady, and keep. He comes every day morning. If you ask him what you're doing, it's Lord's home, I have to do it. No other people over here, they are, but this is what I want to do it. This is what I can do it. God, help us to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ without complaining. Which leads me to the second person over here. Second person is Lazarus. Lazarus, the word of God says, Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. He's sitting there with him. He's not even working. I'm sitting with the Lord. You know, you ask Lazarus why you are sitting. You know, friends, you do not know who was I. I was dead and buried. And stayed the 4 days there. God in His mighty mercy, my Jesus, brought me to life. Rest of my life, I am going to sit where He is sitting. I want to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the word 11 says, because of my reason, of many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus because of Lazarus. God want you to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. How is the area for your witness in your life? Sometimes I know my parents kicked me off of the family, cannot step into my house over 8 years, thought I'm just dead to the family. But I can do pray and pleading, begging God to save my father and mother. People from America came and witnessed to this dying, lost Hindu on the way to eternal hell, sharing the gospel. Many came. God wants us to be witness for other people. Because that's the only way that people can go to heaven. So Lazarus says, rest of my life, I want to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let people see me and believe in Him. You and I are the individual. God saved us that you and I can be a witness that others may come to know Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. I got a little boy. He's no more little boy. He's in college now in the tsunami home. Thomas. A small that. He got saved. When he was 7 years old, he got saved. And that day there was a prayer request. He said, I'm praying for the officer in my village. He's a good man, but never know the Lord Jesus. Please do pray for him that he might come to know Christ. That is a thrilling the kind of things come to his mind. This man is good, but he needs salvation. Little boy, in his all his catastrophe, forgot in just a moment, wanted to pray for that individual. Are you a witnessing individual? You and I were like Lazarus, in a sense. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 says, you were dead in trespasses and sins. We were all dead in trespasses and sins. But the grace of God reached down and just picked us from there. The miry clay of sin. Could you imagine? I was lost in sin on the way to eternal damnation. What happened? I was singing in the miry clay of sin. My Savior picked me up from the miry clay of sin. Set my feet on the rock. He washed me with the precious blood. And He established my going, given a new song in my mouth, even the song and praise of our Savior. God warned we should be witness. Are you a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? That what Lazarus. Then go to the third person. So we have a working Christian, we have a witnessing Christian. Then verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment, spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So I called her a worshipping Christian. Worshipping. Worshipping was her goal. Luke chapter 10, you can see Mary sitting at the feet of Christ, or waiting at the feet of Christ. And John chapter 11, you can see she came to meet with the Lord. And just goes that passage, I'd like to read that here, the Word of God says, and verse 32, chapter 11, verse 32. And when Mary was come where Jesus was, until that time Jesus was staying there, Martha went and told her, she just came. And Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at the feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Almost the same thing what Martha said, she was telling. But attitude was different. You notice that? Martha came and burst out with her sorrow, said, Lord, if you are here, my brother would not die. But Mary came, fell at his feet, telling, Lord, where my brother live or die, still you are my master. Then as a human, she lifted up her eyes to the Savior, saying, Lord, if you are here, my brother would not die. What a tremendous way that. Things may happen or not happen, he is my Savior still. So human, she said, if you are here, my brother would not die. That moved the Savior going to the tomb. So you see that Luke chapter 10, she is waiting at the feet. John chapter 11, she is weeping at the feet. John chapter 12, she is worshipping at the feet. Worshipping. What happened over here? She took a pound of ointment of spikenard. Very costly. A young girl kept this ointment for a purpose, to give to the Savior. That was over 300 pence. That was Judas quoting. This same passage, Matthew chapter 26, all the disciples got angry with her. All the disciples had indignation to her because what she was doing. Everybody upset what she is doing, but she didn't care. She just simply opened that alabaster box anoint the feet of Christ and wipe his feet with her hair. And the word of God says, and the house was filled with odor of the ointment. A kind of lesson over here. She loved the Savior. Without love, she cannot give the best of her life to the feet of Christ. One of the ingredients for worship, we need to have a love to the Savior. Somebody said, without love, you cannot prove your love without giving. You cannot prove your love to someone without giving. The greatest evidence is, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. But at the same time, always giving is not the evidence of love, because you can give to somebody else because just want to get rid of the problems. She loved the precious ointment. She could kept for herself or just sold to buy something else. But she loved and gave the best of her life and anointed the feet of Christ, wiped his feet with her hair. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 speaks, hair is a glory unto woman. She loved her Lord. She gave the best of her life. She even brought her glory to her feet. And the word of God says, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. The very sequence. When you love him, give the best of your life, bring even the glory, the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Same filled is used in the Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. Be a filled with the Holy Spirit. Here in the mattress, there is no area in that house where the sweet odor of ointment was not reached. Everybody enjoyed. Everybody enjoyed. That's what God wants us. We love him. Give the best of your life. Bring everything for the glory of Christ. The sweet odor of your Christian testimony will fill in your home, community, and the church. That was a worship matter about. She worshipped him. The disciple got upset with him. Judas got upset with him. But the Lord said, let her alone. Leave her alone. Why you are just giving her problem? How is your worship relationship with him? Back in home, I'm not speaking about Australia, or in India. Sometimes if I don't see anyone, that afternoon I call them, otherwise I'll go and meet with them. Hey, I didn't see you in the church. It's, oh, I was so busy. 2 days in a kind of rainy days. Hard for me to get out. The next Sunday, why didn't you come this Sunday? Too much hot sunlight. I could come to church. I can only excuse that. The following week, why didn't you come? I have to go for a wedding. People make excuses after excuses not going to the church to worship him. I'm so glad you folks come to worship him today. We are worshiping our God. And you know what happened? He is here. Jesus promised, where 2 or 3 gathered, there I am. He never said, I will come. Before you come to the church, God is in our midst. He's waiting for you. Could you imagine the God who saved you, waiting for you to come to worship him, that he won't bless you. He won't encourage you. He won't minister to you. He won't just heal your broken heart. He won't bring blessings to your life. He won't just encourage you. He won't just forgive you. He won't just make you to walk along with him. He won't to have fellowship with you. He's waiting for you. How often we try to make all the excuses, not going to worship. How is your worship relationship with him? Do you think coming to church is a burden or a blessing? For some people it's a burden. Oh, I have to go 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 hours, oh, every week. Sad. I can see so many churches are empty pews. Let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God may stir up the hearts of every Christian, that we might be able to come with passionate love to worship our Savior. He came all the way from heaven, going to that cruel cross, bearing my sin upon him. The Holy God who hates sin took my sin upon him, because he loved me so much. Isn't that worthy to worship him? See, everybody criticized Mary, did not give any attention. What happened over here? She continually worshipped him. I always put a challenge. Jesus was died and crucified and died and buried. A group of people went to anoint his body the first day of the week. They could see his body, he's gone. Really, who got the privilege to worship him? Anoint. Mary. And Jesus recognized that. I know when you go to heaven, you'll praise him, worship him, shout hallelujah. Surely when you go to home, go to heaven, you will do that. But what about now? What about today? Are you excited to worship him? See, worship him. Finally, we see another man over here. His name is Judas, mentioned over here. Verse 4. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot. I call him a worldly man in a Christian cloth. A worldly man in a Christian cloth. Martha was a working Christian. Lazarus was a witnessing Christian. Mary was a worshipping Christian. It's a man, worldly man in a Christian cloth. Jesus called him. He traveled with him 3.5 years. He saw him preaching. He saw him touching the blind and healing him. He just took the 5 loaves of bread, broke, even gave it to the hand of Judas. He took and gave it to the people. Coming back, awesome. He's God. He saw he stopped the wind and waves. He saw even the people, those who were possessed with demons, shouted, "You are the Son of the Most High God." He was sent to preach. 2 by 2 they went. Came back and told the Lord Jesus, "Even demons are subject to us." And Jesus said, "Don't be too excited because of that. You must be excited because your name is written in the book of the Lamb." He saw these things. But he never accepted him as his own Savior. It's possible sometimes you come to church with the Bible. You can talk like a Christian. Act like a Christian. Behave like one. Talk like a one. When you can smell like a Christian. But if you don't have Jesus, you're lost. You're sitting in a Bible preaching church, far away from the Savior. Far away from the Savior. One of the reasons I said, because he looked into the all four gospel. There's no proof any place Judas calling Jesus Lord. 1 Corinthians says, without the Holy Spirit, you will never say Jesus Lord. In all the conversation, never the scripture anyway pointing out Judas ever called him Lord. But at the same time, Matthew 7 says, in those days many will come and will say, "Lord, Lord, we preached, we teach, we did miracle, we did this thing." And Lord said, "I do not know you." That is kind of mouth uttering. But a true Christian character is that without the help of aid of the Holy Spirit, you will never be able to say Jesus Lord. And Judas never did that. The scripture is silent towards that. Theologically speaking. He was with God's people. It's good to come to church. Good to associate with Christians. Good to hear good preaching. Good to give for missions even. Good help in any matter. But none of those things are not going to help you to go to heaven. You need to know the Lord Jesus as your own Savior. Maybe someone over here today. "Oh, my father is a Christian. My great father is a great grandfather is a Christian." Good. What about you? Are you a Christian? God has got only children. God doesn't have any grandchildren or any other great grandchildren. I have 6 grandchildren. God doesn't have any grandchildren. But as many as received him, God has given power, authority to become the sons and daughters of God. If you never received him, because your parents are going to heaven, because your spouse is going to heaven, that no way you are going. You need to have Jesus. The simple truth, the word of God says, he that hath son, Jesus, hath life. You have Jesus? You have Jesus in your life. If you never trusted him, will you? That Indian preacher came, no, don't forget about Indian. The word of God says, if you never receive the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you're still out of eternal life. Will you ask him to come to your heart? Lord Jesus, I'm lost. In the Bible-believing church, Lord, the best of my knowledge, I never knew when I received you as my Savior. I've been always trying to be a Christian, it's true. Lord, help me. Will you ask him? Christians, how is your relationship with him? The areas of working. You're complaining or counting a privilege, an opportunity to serve him. How is your witnessing area? When is the last time you took extra step to go a few places to give a tract or telling someone else, your dear ones and your friends, saying Jesus loves you? When's the last time you took time to praying for somebody's soul? How is your worshiping attitude towards the Savior? Will he be happy to say, my son, my daughter, I just bought with my precious blood, came to worship me today? How is your worshiping attitude? Maybe you're not a Christian. You look like one, it's good. But you need to have Jesus in your heart. If you don't have Jesus, will you ask him? I beg you to come and receive the Lord Jesus. So go out from this place. You came as a sinner. Go as a saint when you trust him.